composer and conductor Esa-Pekka Salonen. A few weeks ago, he was the featured artist of the BBC Symphony Orchestra's latest Total Immersion weekend at the Barbican in London. You may have heard one of the Total Immersion concerts of his music in last night's Radio 3 in concert. Well, that too is, of course, on the iPlayer radio if you missed it. And tomorrow night at 7:30, we've Esa-Pekka Salonen choral pieces at Total Immersion from the BBC Singers. But Salonen has also made some specially recorded introductions to key works in contemporary music for this week of afternoon concert. So, to begin this afternoon, here he is talking about Georges Ligeti's only opera, Le Grand Macabre.
I did hear the first version of it, the one that had been premiered in Stockholm and recorded. And I'd listened to that quite a bit when I was young. Enjoyed it. It was also outrageous, which I found very attractive. And then I met Ligeti in the 80s, and we started working together. I conducted a lot of his work in LA and in London, and I did a big Ligeti project with the Philharmonic Orchestra around Europe, and was asked to conduct the new version of the opera at the Salzburg Festival in 1996. It's quite different from the first version, the one I was familiar with. He shortened it to some degree. He added some composed bits, replacing spoken sections and so on, and generally tightened the screws, made it more cohesive. The form became more solid and focused. It's still not a traditional opera, but he really composed some parts that almost have the same function as some traditional parts in Mozart operas, for instance. The finale is new, and it has this sort of ensemble feeling. For some reason, I always think of the end of Don Giovanni, where everybody comes who is still alive, everybody who survived, come back to stage and explain that, okay, this can happen if you're bad. Ligeti's point of view is that this happens anyway, no matter what. But it's the same kind of thing. People gathering, somehow explaining, referring to what had been going on. Ligeti had a complicated relationship with this piece. He still, after the revision and the success of it and the fact that it's one of the most widely performed contemporary operas, I was trying to grill him. So tell me, what's the problem? What are you not happy with? Oh, well, he was kind of dodging my questions. But he was like that about most of his music. He was never happy. And he said to me once, well, I am one of the best composers around. But that has also to do with the fact that there are not that many great composers today. He was a very strange mix of more than healthy self-confidence juxtaposed with a sense of utter worthlessness. I guess the word today would be bipolar. Now, when we see it in an opera house, it's kind of funny. Deeply, deeply entertaining. There's nothing that we find shocking anymore. I mean, any standard TV series has more potentially shocking material than this opera. I guess this happens to shock. So if we think of Mozart, for instance, the libretto to The Marriage of Figaro, of course, was supposed to be completely outrageous because it was based on a play by Beaumarchais, who, for the first time publicly in a play, described relations, even romantic relations, between different classes, and especially between the nobility and the lower classes. So this was simply not done. So it was a very hot potato that Mozart grabbed and wrote the opera on. And now, of course, it's all terribly sweet and nostalgic, and there's not one ounce of anything outrageous or even irritating, let alone shocking. And I guess this happens to things. think of Mahler First Symphony, the klezmer tunes and the coffeehouse tunes and all that. A young composer like he was, of course the aim was to annoy the bourgeoisie and shock everybody and so on. And now, it's just very sweet, cute almost. I wouldn't call the Le Grand Macabre cute yet, but it will be one of these days. I find it still very entertaining.
Esa-Pekka Salonen talking about Ligeti's opera Le Grand Macabre. And this, from his recording of the opera, is the final scene. It's the end of time in Ligeti's opera, but humanity persists in all its collective madness. The setting is the mythical kingdom of Bruegelland, the kingdom of peasants, monsters and apocalypses glimpsed in the Bruegel paintings.
it, Your Highness still alive? Have I not just laid to waste the entire goddamn world? My side, my trumpet, voice,
forever. Leno, my friend, and you, Matan, some adventurous brute. Tell me, who are you?
Where is my grave?
So we are living.
George Ligeti's only opera, Le Grand Macabre. That was the opera's final scene. The singers there, Charlotta Hellekant, Laura Claycomb, Yard Van Ness, Derek Lee Regan and Willard White, with Esa-Pekka Salonen conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra and London Sinfonietta Voices. It's not the only recording of Ligeti's opera, and if you'd like to find out more about the merits or otherwise of the many and various recordings of Ligeti's music in general, Building a Library on Record Review this coming Saturday morning is a survey of Ligeti recordings from Gillian Moore. That's here on BBC Radio 3 at 9:30 on Saturday morning. And there's more opera in just over half an hour in this New Year, New Music Week of afternoon concert. Chance to hear the world premiere performance from Olavlinna Castle in Finland in July last year of Aulis Sallinen's new opera Castle in the Water. Meanwhile, with music by Finland's Grand Master Jean Sibelius, his fourth symphony, perhaps the most daring of his seven, perhaps the most daunting too. It's a piece from 1911 that, as Sibelius put it himself, is a protest against present-day music. The paradox is it sounds more modern than the music it was protesting against. Fragmented, lonely, and mostly dark. It grew out of the landscape of lakes and hills in eastern Finland, near what's now the border with Russia, which Sibelius visited with his artist brother-in-law in 1909. The sense of space, shadow, and light is unmistakable. And this Sibelius is from Helsinki in April last year, the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Herbert Blomstedt. Music that ends with a quiet and uneasy acceptance that the conflicts can't be resolved. That was Sibelius's Fourth Symphony, a piece from 1911, and heard there in the Helsinki Music Centre in April last year, the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Herbert Blomstedt, 3 months before his 90th birthday. So, to the afternoon concert opera matinee here on BBC Radio 3, and this too is from Finland, a country which can claim, among other things, to have the northernmost surviving stone-built medieval castle, Olavlinna Castle, in English, St. Olaf's Castle. It's in a lake region in the southwest of the country, and famous for being the home of the Savonlinna Opera Festival that was started back in 1912. So you could say it's older than Finland itself is, as an independent nation anyway. The centenary of that independence from Russian rule was celebrated across the country last year, and those celebrations included Savonlinna commissioning this opera from Aulis Sallinen. It's no ordinary opera either. Sallinen calls it a chronicle for speaker, four singers, orchestra, and Olavlinna Castle. The Castle in the Water, it's called, and this was its world premiere at the castle itself last July. So Olav Lena Castle here as a backdrop for its embattled history. Also as a kind of repository of stories, the tale of Sara Ursina, for example, the vicar's daughter who had an affair while her husband was at war, who killed the resulting child and who was herself then put to death. The opera ends with the castle in retirement, an old man sitting on a rock where time around him is stopped. It begins with a description of the unspoiled natural environment before the arrival of humans.
Alussa oli sana. Ei. Alussa oli hiljaisuus. Rauha. Erämaa. Rajattomuus.
Thank you. puolelle aukenevien, jopa hetki hengittävien vesien parhailla. Ei
Ja äkkiä, kevään vihellys, linnut, ja korkean kesätaivaan lumiset tornit, joiden ylle kuovi kohottaa huutonsa punaisen viirin.
Thank you.
hiven kalkkia.
Hiven kalkkia.
Jäivät tälle Kallioniemelle. Kallioniemelle, jolle 500 sitten saapui Ruotsin kuninkaan käskynhaltijaksi ylimys. Ritari ja herra, Erik Akselin poika Tot. Alussa oli sana. Ja sana tuli kiveksi. Minun sanani, tämä linna. Kaiken sen perusteella, mitä olin nähnyt ja kuullut, minä tiesin, että tämä on oikea paikka. Vesistö tuolla ja tuolla. Kulkureitti, kapeikko, risteys, maantie, lauttapaikka. Tosiasiallisesti tämä oli meidän talonpoikiemme maata, pyyntimaata, kalavettä. Viipuri oli residenssikaupunkini, mutta Viipurin käsivarsi oli voimaton täällä erämaassa. Minä näin, kuinka Novgorodin kauppatasavallan takaa nousi uusi mahti, Moskova.
Herran vuonna 1475 rakennutin tämän linnan. Minä, Erik Akselin poika Tot, Laagnön ritari, Jumalan kunniaksi. Kristukselle ja pyhälle kristinuskolle vahvistukseksi. Ja silloin puolisonani oli Laagmansöön Elina Kustaan tytär.
Tietysti minä ajattelin omaa ja sukuni mahtia, mutta olin myös tullut näkemään tämän maan äären väestön hädän ja tarpeet. Heidät oli minulle uskottu ja meidän etumme ovat yhteiset.
Anteeksi ylhäinen herra, mutta kuinka ne voisivat olla?
Elänyt täällä kauan. Elänyt! Eläytynyt tähän maahan, Suomen ylimyksiin ja heidän kansaansa sen verran, kun nyt kansaan voi eläytyä. Minä olen valinnut tämän osan, asettunut tänne vapaaehtoisesti, niin kuin omasta tahdostani olen rakentanut tämän linnan. Teidän suojaksenne.
Minä en tullut tänne.
Oma hehtoisesti.
Eikä minun mieheni. Hänet käskettiin.
Nyt hän on kuollut.
Koko maa ja maakunta teki päivätöitä. maksoi veroja, toimitti hirsiä ja tuohia, ja kalkkia ja kiviä ja kuka mitäkin. Mikä mitäkin? Hevosia ja miehiä ja viljaa.
Minä vihasin tätä liinaa. Olihan se puljas järkyttävä meidän tukimme verrattuna. Mutta se kieli meidän elämäämme. Se oli kylmä ja kostaa.
Jos linnaa ei olisi rakennettu, te olisitte menettäneet erämaanne ja paljon useammat olisivat kuolleet miekkaan ja tuleen. Maata oli suojeltava, puolustettava!
Linna on kivinen taru, minun kivinen uneni. Tämä kivi tuli taas sanaksi, hyvin pian. Pelkkä nimi, pelkkä maine, pelkkä tieto, että linna on olemassa, alkoi vaikuttaa tapahtumiin. Tämä linna on sana erämaassa, sanan kaiku neuvottelupöydän ääressä.
Thank you.
Ei se silti lakkaa olemasta kivi, mikä on hyvä asia. Kivi on lujempaa ainesta kuin pergamentti. Pergamentille kirjoitetaan ja piirretään rajat. Pergamentti on nahkaa.
Linna on kiveä, vain tykkien muokattavissa.
Teille, jotka nyt kannatte sukuni puolesta kilpeä, teille puhun muurin järkeleisin sanoin ja sanon, pitäkää kiinni kalliosta. Pureutukaa siihen syöpyvin juurin, ettette lennä ilmojen teitä tai ajelehdin laskun lailla. Virta on musta ja nopea, tempaa, nielee. Uni on pitkä. Rakenna kivestä kalliolle kivinen linna, iske nimesi sen seinään, valitse päällikkö, aseta vartijat. Unen portaita astu, kuninkaan salista alas, läpi vesiportin ja ohi soihtumiesten liikkumattoman rivin purteen.
Tornit kohosivat kallioluodolle, kuin korallien rakennelmat. Vuosi vuodelta kiven kantajat, kalkin polttajat, rasivat ympärillään erämaavesien rikkumaton rauha.
Aina ase käden ulottuvilla. Puusta ensin rakennettiin ja maasta ja tuoheista. Ja maafallin suojassa sitten
Oh.
Ja meren takaa etelästä.
Vilja saatiin talonpojilta veroina.
Jauhomyllyjä tuolla Kalkkuiniemessä, kalkipolttouunit. Muurarimestareitakin tuli jostain tuolta etelästä meren takaa, Räävelin kaupungista. Rakennusvaiheessa niitä oli 16. Rajoilla vihkiytyivät valo. Ravitsivat nälkäisen, auttoivat elämään talven yli.
uuden ajan sarastus, renessanssi. Suurten persoonallisuuksien aikaa ja suurten saalistajien.
Kirja painaa ja Gutenberg kehitteli uransa samoina vuosina kuin Erik Akselin poika omansa.
Margaret, ei Gretchen. Minun nimeni oli Saara Ursina, sittemmin Zitting. Minä olin papin tytär. Paina korvasi linnan kiveä vasten ja kuuntele. Luutun helähdys virralta, talven laulu ja kevään ja pihlajan. Ja vanhat tarinat, unet ja kuvitelmat. Kuuntele, se soi. nimeni oli Saara Ursina, sittemmin Zitting. Minä olin papin tytär, mutta minä surmasin lapseni, joka oli luvattoman rakkauden hedelmä. Minun mieheni oli kuningas Karlen soturi. Ja minun kohtalokseni tuli Adam, kevytmielinen Adam Pistulekors. Ei löydy mainintaa siitä, tuomittiinko minut teilattavaksi vai poltettavaksi.
Eversti Joachim Mitzlov, tai Meslöf, kuten haluatte. Palkkasoturi, saksalainen, palveluksessanne. Linnan vankina vuodesta 36 vuoteen 39. Sai säätynsä mukaisen muonituksen, piinin ja palveluspojan, mutta ei viihtynyt.
Eikä se Saksan eversti saanut jalitella yksin. Kultasin vuonna valinnaan ees et viimaa.
ne kreiviä kanseri panneet vankilaas ja suotta.
Sitten se luuttatti pöllerin avulla, pääsikö karkuun.
Poika Bilke. Tuli näiden linnojen päälliköksi.
Minä tulin näiden linnojen päälliköksi. Herran vuonna 1499.
Oli Tanskan kuninkaan tänne lähettämä.
Olin Tanskan kuninkaan tänne asettama riitari. Suhtautua moskoviitteihin.
kapella nahisteltiin, niin rahattiin, missä voitiin. Sahattiin silmään, etsittiin kärhämään. Tämän minä opin ja oivalsin. Koska liittiin, pitää suhtautua kuin ihmiseen. Ei saa luottaa, pitää olla suora. Tosin muutama tuhat ratsua ja miestä ei ole koskaan haitaksi.
Yön lähestyessä hän jätti linnansa ja lääninsä vaimolleen, sivistyneelle, lujatahtoiselle ja kirjoitustaitoiselle Gunilla Juhanan tytär Beeselle, kevät-kesällä 1511.
Ihmiset tulevat taas juhlaan Kalliosaarelle. Ehkä me olemme siinä joukossa soluna kaltaisissamme tai ajatuksena, joka kantaa tänne.
Oh,
jostakin. Kaukaa ohi ajan. Antaa ensimmäisen linnan päälle puheen.
Miehuusko kadonnut? Mihin se voisi kadota? Näiden muurien halkeamiin? Ei se mahdu niihin. Ei miehuus katoa, voi muuttaa muotoaan, ei kadota. Miehuus ei ole miekkojen kalistelua, ei pelottelua eikä vihottelua, vaan hallitsemista. Pelon hallitsemista ja välinpitämättömyyden ja vihan. Se ei pelkää sotaa, ei rauhaa. Miehuus on kyky elää sodassa rauhaa kohden. Se on rauhan rakentamista. Sen onni, vilja ja puu. Silta veden ylitse. Korkenevat tornit.
Suomalainen lähti täältä kädet poikki hakattuina. Talonpoika, viestin tuoja. Jätti kaksi punaista vanaa erämaan lumeen. Kädet olivat kasvaneet tilalle, suomalainen palasi. Ei haarniskassa, töyhtö hulmuten, hän palasi sarkapuvussa. ja nojasi linnan muuriin. Kuin kivi!
Entäpä jos vanhus yhtäkkiä kohottaa päätään, siristää silmiään ja kysyy, kuka sinä olet? Mistä löydän sen, mistä löydät sen tiedon, suomalainen?
Thank you.
Finnish music and Finnish music making. That was the world premiere at Olavlinna Castle in Finland last July of Castle in the Water by Aulis Sallinen, an opera about the very castle where it was performed. And it's half a millennium of history up to the present day. That final section began with the words, "Today the castle is an old man seated on a rock around which time has come to a halt, like a king who's relinquished his power, a king once ferocious, grim and stern." Telling the castle's story there were Kari Heskonen as the speaker, soprano Tina Maja Koskela, mezzo-soprano Tuija Knihtila, tenor Jussi Müllys and baritone Tommy Hakala, with the Savonlinna Opera Festival Orchestra conducted by Ville Matveev. And as a kind of postlude to that Sallinen opera, especially as we had a Sibelius symphony before it, a Sibelius song now for voice and piano as orchestrated by Sallinen. The singer here, Ann-Sofie von Otter, with the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra. And the song itself is Under the Fir Trees on the Shore.
Skrånen likte gosse, wie den Weg auf dem Schwunger seine. Und umsogen bei ganz jungen Becken, sog mit schönig Boden schön. Du som kuppest i kampforst på stranden,
Under the Fir Trees on the Shore by Sibelius. And that was an orchestration of Sibelius's voice and piano original by a latter-day Finn, Aulis Salonen. It's part of a new Sibelius album with mezzo Ann-Sofie von Otter and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Hannu Lintu. Well, next week's afternoon concert opera matinee brings a performance from Spain of an opera set in Spain, Beethoven's Fidelio from San Sebastian last summer. That's from 2 o'clock next Thursday afternoon. Here on BBC Radio 3. back to this afternoon and in just over half an hour in tune with Katie Derham, who's with me now. Katie, I see your guests include the Szymanowski Quartet, but
yes.
Are they playing any Szymanowski?
Do you know what? I don't think they've got any of that up their sleeves for us this afternoon,
okay.
But they have some treats in store. They've got a new CD out called Les Vendredis, who were a rather particularly excellent sort of group of musicians in St. Petersburg who met. They were basically the Mighty Handful after they who used to then get together of a Friday, hence Les Vendredis, and play. And so we've got lots of wonderful Russian music from the Szymanowskis coming up this afternoon. We have a world premiere, no less, of a piece by Colin Matthews, our composer of the week, who is being inspired by Telemann, and we're going to hear that piece played on the recorder by Tobias Diebus later on. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about Baroque music because there's a new festival called Baroque at the Edge.
At the Barbican, isn't it?
Indeed.
It starts tomorrow.
Ellis and St. Luke's and all sorts of places.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about all sorts of different collaborations and inspirational Baroque moments there. And then we've got Gavin Sutherland coming in to talk about the English National Ballet's double bill of Song of the Earth, that wonderful Mahler piece.
Yes.
And La Sylphide as well. So...
That sounds fascinating. Thank you, Katie. That's In Tune with Katie Derham here on BBC Radio 3 at 5 o'clock.
New year, new music. Step from the old to the new with BBC Radio 3.
And here on Afternoon Concert, back to Finland and the Helsinki Music Centre last March. The pianist Laura Mikkola and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Collin, here in music first heard in London 10 years ago and described by its composer as a piano concerto with moving image. This is In 7 Days by our own Thomas Adès, a half-hour concert piece in 7 continuous movements that evoke the creation story in sound and vision, and which, as one review put it, is no less complete as a purely sonic entity.
Thank you. Thank you.
In 7 Days, written around a decade ago by Thomas Adders. That final section, Contemplation. And that performance of it was from the Helsinki Music Centre last March. The pianist Laura Mikkola and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Collin. Well, tomorrow in this New Year, New Music Week here on Afternoon Concert, the Finnish conductor and composer Esa-Pekka Salonen introducing and then conducting the Estonian Arvo Pärt's Fourth Symphony, a piece Salonen helped commission from Pärt for the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And then Beethoven, a Beethoven original, and part of a chance reworking of Beethoven ideas and motifs by Stockhausen, composed for the bicentenary of Beethoven's birth in 1970. We'll also have more music making from Helsinki last year, the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, and among other things, Dvorak's Seventh Symphony. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Do join us then if you can.
On BBC Radio 3, a 30-minute uninterrupted stream of music.
I am a fly, I can tell him why.
The InTune Mixtape. Weeknights at 7 and on the BBC Radio 3 website.
It's 5 o'clock and over now to InTune and Katie Derham.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Not just the mixtape here on InTune, but an awful lot else. We have a revisitation to a famous Russian salon with the Szymanowski Quartet. I'm going to be talking to the great ballet conductor Gavin Sutherland about the English National Ballet's new double bill of Song of the Earth and La Sylphide. And we're going to see just how far we can push Baroque at a new festival called Baroque at the Edge. And included in that, we have a world premiere of a Baroque-inspired piece by our composer of the week, Colin Matthews. Phew. All that after the 5 o'clock news, read today by Alan Smith.
The Environment Secretary Michael Gove has outlined plans for an overhaul of the subsidies received by British farmers after Brexit. The funding will remain at its current level for 5 years after the UK leaves the EU. But from 2024, a new scheme in England will see farmers rewarded for providing public benefits such as flood prevention and encouraging wildlife. President Trump's legal team are trying to block the publication of a controversial book about his administration. The lawyers have written to the author and the publisher of Fire and Fury, demanding they immediately cease and desist from any further release of the book. They say they're looking into possible claims of defamation. One of Britain's most prolific sex offenders, who was jailed indefinitely in 2009, has been approved for release from prison. John Warboys, who's 60, raped and sexually assaulted women who were passengers in his black cab. He was convicted of 19 offences, although police believe he carried out more than 100 attacks. Theresa May has apologised to patients who've had their operations postponed as NHS England struggles with increased winter demand. The Prime Minister said she understood the situation was difficult, frustrating and disappointing. Figures released today highlight the pressures faced by hospitals. The data shows 17,000 ambulance patients had to wait more than half an hour outside A&E over the Christmas period. The mustard maker Coleman's is to leave its site in Norwich, where it's been based for 160 years. Production is being moved to Burton-upon-Trent and Germany in 2019. The GMB union says the closure is devastating news. Scotland Yard has asked the Home Office to pay for its investigation into the Grenfell Tower fire. It's requested £38 million to fund what it calls one of the biggest and most complex inquiries in the force's history. And the weather. There will be showers or longer spells of rain for many, with some hill snow in Scotland and northern England. It'll turn windy again in the south with gales. Overnight lows of 2 Celsius in Edinburgh, in Belfast, 5 in Cardiff and 6 in London. And that's the BBC News at 5:02.
Alan, thank you. Let us raise the curtain on tonight's InTune with some Mozart. This is the overture to The Marriage of Figaro.